You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and piggybacking on last week's episode about your stuff, here's a chat about your space and how to help it help you be your healthiest. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am over the moon excited about today's sponsor. Friend, this is my dream sponsor. The, oh my God, is this real life sponsor? The sponsor I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl winning card-giving holidays with her reliable tearjerkers, ending fights with soul-spilling letters left on people's pillows, and surviving college by avoiding all test-taking classes and taking only essay-writing ones. No, this sponsor is not a pen or a computer or those yellow Papermate Sharp Writer number 2 mechanical pencils that you turn the tip of, which I've used religiously for 2 decades. This sponsor is the thing I've been writing up to my whole life. It's my book, my first freaking real life, will live in stores if stores ever open up again, but can live on your shelf right this second book, Party in Your Plants, which has been called in an Amazon review as the best plant-based book ever, as well as a cookbook that's way more than a cookbook, and a plant party heaven. Readers have also said that it's the best healthy living guide for your kitchen that you must purchase pronto. And so I'm here to tell you that you can promptly purchase Party in Your Plants, 100 plus plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without hating your life, anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. PartyInYourPlants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop your fingers over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart to buy yourself and your best friend and their best friend a copy today. That's PartyInYourPlants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book that Amazon readers say you must add to your cookbook stack ASAP because it gets all the thumbs ups. We've heard about making our bank accounts work for us. We've heard about making our businesses work for us. But what about our home sweet home? Jamie Gold is a home design marvel and the author of a new book, Wellness by Design, a practical new guide for living spaces. And her whole philosophy is that if you want to get healthy, start with your space. We covered so much in this episode, from revamping the kitchen, organizing the damn stacks of papers, I know you got them, on your counter, embracing hacks that are going to help make your home more comfortable, and really thinking through how we put together the rooms that now have multiple purposes, like the home office turned gym turned reading corner. I'm looking at you. I know I learned 1,000 things about how to make my space work for me so that I can live my best, healthiest, sanest life, even if it includes getting the dorky, cushy floor mat. Of course, we brought some planty magic to this housewarming party to turn it up to 11. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast.
Woohoo! Glad to be here.
I'm really excited to talk to you. This is going to be a very fascinating, totally off the beaten path angle to wellness. So this is going to be fun. But before we get into like wellness design, spoiler alert, that's what we'll be talking about. There have been a lot of transitions and pivots in your journey. You used to be in media and marketing, and now you're a designer and author, and you have your own kitchen and bath design company. So there has to be a long and winding and very interesting story, and I want to hear it.
I don't know how interesting it is. I've been seeing so many people like myself just realize you have to do what calls to you. And all the years that I was in media, marketing, communications, because I was one of those kids who wrote. And if you were a writer, even if it was just bad poetry at 6 and, you know, essays in high school, then you look for ways to write. And I pursued that path and realized I don't like management. I wanted management. I achieved management. I hated management. I loved design, and I grew up with parents who loved design. I mean, my mom was the luckiest woman in the world to have a guy who could build whatever she wanted.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And would paint the room however many times until she got the color she required.
Oh.
So, and I was my dad's helper growing up. So if he was building a piece of furniture, I was the one handing him things. I don't have his handyman skills, but I grew up with an appreciation for design and architecture. And I've always looked to make whatever space I lived in as me as I could get it.
Oh,
and
cool.
And that always made me feel good. I mean, it just has, and it continued to this day. And along my journey from an unhappy person in management at 233-pound couch potato in my off hours to finding my way back to health and fitness, I realized that my home was a secret weapon.
Ooh, okay. I've not heard that one before.
Well, yeah. And it started with a focus on safety and accessibility for older clients, because I had watched my grandmother struggle with that even before I became a designer. And so when I decided I was going to take my interests, my passion, and turn it into a career, I focused a lot of my energy on that type of clientele and loved helping older people be safe and independent and functional and comfortable at home. Mm. And when you do that, you see, well, something that helps an older person be, you know, able to get into their house. Take, for example, just a barrier-free entry to your home. Well, that also helps a young mom with a stroller, you know, a jog stroller, or it helps somebody who travels a lot with their roller bag, not have to deal with steps and just make life easier. And, you know, even in somebody's kitchen, if you're creating cabinet storage that has pullouts and swing outs, it makes it easier for somebody who has flexibility issues, but it also makes that storage more accessible for anyone. And you don't have to get on your knees with a flashlight knee pads to find what you put in that cabinet 3 months ago. And right now, with everybody trying to maximize home storage and minimize shopping trips, that's a big advantage.
Totally. Well, okay, so you grew up with a mom who was really into design, a dad who could make anything your mom wanted, and you were witnessing both. You saw your mom's passion for, you know, the creative aspect of the interior of a home, and you saw your dad's ability to do stuff, and you helped him. That's really, really cool.
And I wish I had inherited his handyman skills, but at least I got the appreciation.
Yes. So how did you then leave your career in media and marketing and pursue design work?
Well, I decided I did not want to go back to school for another degree. I looked at some prestigious design programs I could take, and I didn't want student loans. I decided I was going to focus on kitchen and bath design because I felt that it was the least likely to go entirely online. So many other aspects of design are now do-it-yourself with the internet. And kitchens and baths are so complex that I thought, well, this is something that people aren't going to be as comfortable doing entirely on their own without any professional support. And I think in some ways that has shifted in the 16-plus years since I looked at it, but it is an area that people still do seek out help. So I decided I was going to look for a professional program to see if I liked doing it. And I found one through the National Kitchen and Bath Association, and it was like duck to water. I loved putting together these projects in class. And I realized that so many of my classmates were there because their employer sent them and paid for their time to be there and paid for the books and the class fee. And that was the Home Depot, which really wanted during the boom days of the housing market explosion for their people to be as skilled as they could be. And so I took my certificate from this course, trotted into my neighborhood Home Depot, used my marketing skills to persuade the manager that he should hire me.
Oh my God.
And he did.
Wow.
And I learned the basics of kitchen and bath design in the housing boom at my neighborhood Home Depot. They gave me
Start at home.
Exactly. And then I went on to a more custom showroom environment. And then the housing market collapsed.
Oy, indeed.
And I was very glad I didn't have student loans.
Yeah.
But I was very unhappy not to have an income. Because at the time, I was also writing about design. As soon as I realized I knew something that I could share with readers, I started to write for the local newspapers about this new passion of mine. And that was great when I went independent to get some clients until the stock market collapsed. And then no one was doing anything. But that was kind of how I got going and made the transition and came back to the whole media marketing communications in using my newfound knowledge as a designer to share tips with people in the area who might want to improve their homes.
Awesome. So you really focus on what you call wellness design. What mm-hmm. is wellness design?
Wellness design is the practice of creating safe, healthy, comfortable spaces for the people who will be using them.
Hmm.
It's to promote well-being. And I essentially looked at this huge area because wellness design goes beyond people's homes to public spaces and, you know, so many other areas. So I focus only on residential design, and I organized wellness design into what I call the five facets of wellness design. It's health and fitness, safety and security, accessibility, functionality, and everyone's favorite, comfort and joy. And how features that fit into one or more of those areas really help define and organize this massive wellness design concept.
So you're really taking design and, like you said originally, making it more functional. So it's not just about how furniture or wall paint or like a mirror look in a room. It's about looking at a space and how you're going to be using it. It's not just about looks. It's about functionality.
Even before I really made wellness design my focus, I was always oriented that way. Mm. I've always been function over form. Form is important. Form makes you feel good. And elements of form can fit into those comfort and joy aspects. For example, I had a client whose grandfather had built a barn in Virginia where he grew up. And we used a piece of that barn wood to create a fireplace mantle. And that, whenever he looked at that, it would evoke those childhood memories. And I've had clients who've incorporated tiles from their favorite artist or from vacations. So whenever you could take form elements that make you feel great and inspired and comfortable, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is beneficial from a visual standpoint. But a space has to be so much more. It has to support your well-being. It has to not sabotage your health or wellness with either things that are toxic in your environment or things that might create a trip hazard or things that are just hard to stand on for hours and hours without any relief. So you have to look at everything from the perspective of, yes, this looks great, but it also works well and supports my life.
Mm. It's funny because I was just recording a podcast before this in my husband's office because my office was loud. They were doing construction on the bathroom. And I was sitting in his chair and it is so uncomfortable. It's really cool looking, but it is so uncomfortable. And after I recorded mm-hmm. the interview, I was like, Jesse, like, what the hell's up with your chair? He's like, yeah, I know I can't sit in it for more than like 5 minutes. I go sit in the other chair and take all my calls. And that was just, I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Like having an uncomfortable chair creates stress, and stress is bad for our health.
It not only creates stress, but it can harm you physically.
Mm, like screw up my back.
It could screw up your back.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting for all those hours isn't good for you anyway. I'm a big fan of desk risers or adjustable desks where you can spend part of your workday standing and alternate.
They're so ugly.
Oh, there are some that are better looking. You can find ugly anything and you can find more and more attractive things. And right now you have so many people who aren't used to working from home.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing it, you know, my entire independent career, but there are people who are just starting these past few months and realize the dining room chair is not going to cut it. The folding chair that I had in my garage is not going to cut it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing this for a long time, and I want something that supports my body and doesn't create stress and is healthy for me. That's part of that health and fitness facet that I mentioned.
Right. So how do you begin to assess a space and, you know, with those different components and kind of start to make it healthier?
I would start by looking at how well does this space serve me versus how well I need it to serve me. Hmm. And for some people, that's going to be a space functioning right now as a home office. For other people, it's going to be their kitchen because they're making so many more meals at home right now. For others, maybe it could be their bedroom or a family member's bedroom. So identify the greatest need and the greatest shortcomings. And then look at what you could do with your available resources, whether that's money and knowledge and support, and make those what they need to be to do what they need to do.
I mean, you make it sound very easy.
Well, it's not necessarily very easy, but you can make it so that I'm going to focus on this area. This is my top priority instead of getting overwhelmed by trying to redo your whole house at once.
Yes,
or your whole or your whole apartment at once. Where's the greatest need?
Well, we just redid half of my bathroom because we only have one bathtub in the house. We have four bathrooms, one bathtub, and it was not usable. It only held nine inches of water before it started draining, which literally wasn't even enough to cover my thighs when I lie down in the tub. And I was miserable. I mean, we've gone through a whole year living in this house. The amount of times where I've wanted to take a bath and couldn't, so I just like stood in the shower for 20 minutes was like, I mean, I know this sounds like first world problems. It is, but like, woman needs a bathtub. Come on now. And so finally, it was just too expensive to redo the whole bathroom, even though everyone, our designer and everyone was like, if you're going to redo some of it, just redo the whole thing. And it would have like quadrupled the price. So we literally just like replaced the bathtub and then like we're replacing the backsplash. But that was within the realm of thinking of like, how can I make myself more comfortable in my home where I'm spending 100% of my time now?
That makes perfect sense to me, Talia. You said, I am unhappy because I cannot take a bath.
Yeah, it's so important to me.
And if that is important to you, then that becomes a health feature in the lower your stress level area. And it becomes a comfort and joy feature. I mean, I can relate because I love using the spa in my community. You know, we have spas that you can use, and they've been closed because of the pandemic. And I don't have a jetted tub. And I'm working out really, really hard, so I'm dealing with muscle soreness, and I want that feature. I do have a handheld massaging shower head, which definitely helps. But as you know, it's not the same as sitting.
Yeah.
Amid that, just the rising steam and the jets. And I was looking at, I'm going to replace my master bathtub with a jetted version.
There you go.
And I just got an email that they're reopening the spas, so I can put that on the lower priority now.
Nice.
But I get where you're coming from.
Totally.
On that. And for you, that was a priority.
Definitely.
Great example.
Yeah, it was a number one priority, really. So what are common areas like this? Like the bathtub, we both just had a story about it. What are other ones that are pretty common, especially now as like maybe people are working from home more? I mean, everyone is. So like maybe there are some examples in that category that come to mind, or working out at home, like
all
the space double. So what are some
all of those
tweaks?
Work from home is a big one.
Yeah.
because people realized after that first month or two that my back is hurting, my neck is bothering me, I don't feel good by the end of the day, it's starting to impact my health and my productivity, and this is clearly going to be a longer-term situation. So people are looking at work-from-home spaces. As you mentioned, another one is fitness. My gym closed back in March, and I've been working from home ever since, and so have a lot of other people, and you have to look at what is a safe space to set this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be I looked at living rooms as only comfort and joy spaces, but now they need to often be health spaces too, or workspaces. So they've gained importance because they're no longer just, I'm going to sit here and watch TV. They're often multi-purposing.
Mm.
So, you know, when it comes to a fitness space at home, I want people to be looking at safety. I want somebody to be working out where if they make a move, they're not going to smash into a window. You know what I mean? Or yeah, into a sharp piece of furniture or pull something down on themselves.
And also, if you're worried about it, like I, you know, spend most of my time in our house where we have an at-home gym, but a little bit I was in the city apartment and I was trying to work out there. And I was like bumping into things left and right to the point where like I was now, my form was now compromised because I couldn't extend my leg the right amount because I was so nervous about bumping into things. And I guess, you know, if you really think about it, we do deserve better than that, especially if we're working out, and that can hinder us. It can cause an injury or, again, with the stress.
An injury, an accident, stress, impacting your form, all good examples. Another one I bring up because I'm seeing neighbors of mine create fitness spaces in their garage.
Mm.
And I've known for years people who do garage workouts. One thing to look out for is garages typically have concrete flooring.
Yes.
That's not great for high impact or plyometric workouts. So if people want to do that, A, they have to look at the air quality and ventilation in that space. And B, they need to be looking at the flooring and what are they landing on and how is that impacting their body too.
That's really interesting. So how do you check out your ventilation?
Well, you can get detectors, you know, things that you can put up and they'll let you know if there's something off-gassing into your space that you don't want to be breathing, especially when you work out. If you're doing something in a garage and you have chemicals stored in there, are they properly sealed? Are they going to be, you know, are you going to be smelling fumes when you're breathing deeply during your core workout and during your, you know, your cardio? So look at all of those. I have a whole chapter in my book on garages.
Oh,
that
really?
That includes insights on garage workouts and just, you know, from a privacy standpoint, a security standpoint, a storage standpoint. Because if you don't work out in your garage, maybe you work out somewhere else and you store your gear there.
Mm.
And you want it to be set up so that you could just grab it and head out. You know, when you need to go to training and not be disorganized and just to have that be a non-stress item for
you. Totally. Any barrier to entry will
exactly
be a barrier and will not enter.
For those of us who are suburbanites, often the way that we're coming home is in our garage. That's the first room that welcomes us home. And for a lot of people, it's not a very welcoming space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely.
Very stressful. I like to have, like, I have my medal rack from my races in my garage. It's one of the first things I see when I come home. And it just reminds me that, hey, I have this other life.
Oh, that's great. Races as in, like, running races?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've done road races and trail races and triathlon and you know, all sorts of things to get myself off the dang couch.
So you mentioned this earlier that once you changed your space, you changed your body, you changed your life, you changed your health. Tell me more about that. How did one lead to the other?
Well, I was a suburban housewife and I was unhappy with the economic situation because no one was really doing anything with their home at that point. And, you know, my management years sitting behind a desk, I just gained weight and gained weight and gained weight and suddenly found myself 233 pounds, which is not great at 5'6" and a half. And
nice. You get that half in.
Got to get the half in. Well, it used to be 3/4. I think now it's down to about 1/4. But I'll average out to 1/2. But yeah, I was really just completely sedentary. And when my marriage crashed and burned, I realized I'd better get off the couch or I'm going to have a heart attack or a stroke. And I had access to a pool, so I started to swim again. And that was really a lifesaver. And I started to just crave healthier foods. Mm-hmm. And that was also helpful. But I realized if I'm standing on my tile floors in my suburban kitchen, meal prepping for a long time, or even just helping out with creating holiday meals, my back and feet and hips would bother me from standing on ceramic for long periods of time. So I got an anti-fatigue mat, one of those really cushiony mats. Uh-huh. And it was a game changer for me.
That's funny. My friend who has had 2 babies has one of those. And she says, even though it's kind of dorky, it's like her life-changing item, like you said, because she's always meal prepping. She's always has a baby on her as she's cooking. Mm-hmm. And she's like, can't speak highly enough about it. So good to know.
And you can use it in a hobby area, in a laundry area. You can use it if you're using a standing desk.
Anywhere that you're standing for long periods
they
of time.
They could be dorky. There are some nice looking ones. Like but
crapping on all
I'm
the things.
I'm
standing
okay
desks
with that.
And these mats. Everything's ugly.
No. I'm okay with that. Again, it's about wellness for me.
I really
and
like that.
Things that are dorky over time lose their dorkiness when people realize this is really cool. I feel so much better right now.
Yeah. Well, feeling better.
And that was one of my first discoveries when it came to how my home could sabotage or support my health and well-being, because I wasn't going to stand there for hours feeling crummy. And I realized that it was standing on those hard floors that was doing it. And now, since I'm as active as I am, I don't want something impeding my workouts or training. Mm. I really don't.
That's really fascinating. What are some other examples of just like little tweaks like that that people might not think about that could really, as you say, you know, sabotage us in our home that we have no idea about?
Well, trip and fall hazards are a big one, especially with so many more people in the house right now. Hmm. You know, maybe it was just you and your spouse at one point, and now the kids are home all day, and maybe you have an older relative in the house, and everyone is there all the time. So things that you didn't really think about before, like, for example, pet bowls on the floor or charger cords for the laptop that people are now using to study with can suddenly become trip and fall hazards as people rush back and forth to do what they need to do during their day.
I love how practical this is. Keep going. This is really interesting.
I'm a big fan of handheld massaging shower heads, as I mentioned.
Oh, handheld.
And for people who don't have a tub, you know, a jetted tub, it's a really nice way to get some mini hydrotherapy. Mm-hmm. You know, you go out, you do your workout, you're sore, you can just turn that setting to massage and aim it at the muscle that hurts. If you're doing a lot of trail running or other endurance activities, you can also get yourself clean in ways that are a lot more ergonomic and easy. It's easier to clean the tub and shower area itself with one of those. Mm. Just makes your life easier. And you don't have to be a homeowner to put one in. You just unscrew the head that's there, put the new one on. And then if you're moving later, you take it with you.
Yeah.
Put one back on.
No, that's great. That's great. Mm. What about working out at home? That, you know, if you don't have a garage or a basement, like if you're in a city apartment, how do you advise people to create a space? Do they have to just like move that coffee table every time and stuff like that?
You know, it's really going to depend upon the workout that you want to do, mm-hmm. the equipment you need, and the space you have. It's not the same for everyone. The first thing is people should be talking to their physician and say, okay, is this the right program for me? If they're new to working out, maybe they start with a personal trainer to show them the right form on things. And when you look at your own space, how much space do I need for this piece of equipment? How much space do I need around this piece of equipment? Let's take, for example, a elevating treadmill or a stair climber. It's not just the space that it needs to occupy and the weight, and is that going to be a problem on a second floor, for example, but it's also how much headroom you have above it relative to any light fixtures, ceiling fans, so that you can use it without creating injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So you have to look at clearances. You know, weight bench, it's not just the, you know, the 15 or 12 inches or whatever on the bench, it's your legs on straddling it, for example.
It's so funny. This is just such practical, literal stuff, but it's really true. We don't often think about all this. Like I, in my office, I have a couch that also doubles as a pullout for guests. And we humorously bought a very heavy coffee table. So every time I have to unfold the bed, we're like breaking our backs moving the coffee table that's at the foot of the couch. There you go. That's a practical thing that could have been thought through a little bit better.
Let's say that that couch was a piece of exercise equipment.
Yeah.
And you had to move that heavy coffee table every time you wanted to use it. Mm-hmm. Might that just discourage you from using that piece of exercise equipment?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
I had a client who had that exact same challenge.
Any barriers to entry with anything like healthy eating or healthy moving, you're gonna succumb to the barrier. Like you cannot have those barriers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate in that in my living room, my coffee table is an ottoman on casters.
Mm.
So I can just roll it where I need it to go. I put the laptop on there. And I do workouts from home with a friend that a trainer sent me.
That's cool.
So I have the accountability of working out with someone, but we're not breathing each other's air. You know, we're each safe in our own spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a safe, clear area to do my workouts, and I don't have to move anything heavy to make them happen.
That's awesome. Hi, pardon my interjection here for a sec, but you know what's a functional staple in my home, in my kitchen, in my body? Sun Warrior. It is not groundbreaking information that I love Sun Warrior's plant protein powder. You've seen it be the main ingredient in my protein waffles for years now. But a few months ago, I got hooked on their newest protein blends called Lean Meal. I've been adding 2 scoops of Sun Warrior's Lean Meal. I love the snickerdoodle and chocolate flavors to nice cold almond milk in a shaker cup and sipping that baby up like a milkshake. I've been taking a lot of safe road trips this fall, and road snacks are hard to come by. So I've been shaker cupping and lean mealing on the road, and it's been the gas in my tank that my body really needs. Because it's a very solid product. With 15 grams of organic protein from organic and fermented yellow peas, organic superfoods, the equivalent of 1 vegetable serving and 1 fruit serving, billions literally of probiotics, a whole medley of mushrooms and organic green coffee bean for a lovely little energy boost, it's really been a great addition to my days. If you want to get your hands on Sun Warrior's Lean Meal for 20% less than the rest of the world pays to get their mitts on it, just use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. That's code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. What are some things in a kitchen that you've seen create some of these barriers to healthy cooking entry?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, Talia, because that is the complaint that people express the most often.
Oh.
I hate working in my kitchen.
I wonder why I knew that.
Uh-huh. And so the first question, well, why? What's the problem? Well, it's dark and it's cluttered. And I don't like being in it. And so the first thing is, okay, well, how do we make it less dark and less cluttered? Mm-hmm. And clutter is the easy thing because you can look at what's in there and what should not be in there. The kitchen chapter of my Wellness by Design book is probably the biggest in the whole book, because your kitchen is your fueling station.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be prioritized as your fueling station. And you can create healthy meals to fuel your day and fuel your workouts. And all the other things are secondary. So if you have a stack of papers in there, and almost every client I've ever encountered over the years has this stack of papers in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, okay, where can we move that so that it's out of your work zones?
Yeah, I just have like a counter with random crap on it. And it's like crap I use all the time. It's like some supplements and like, you know, some, you know, propolis spray and some I have two jars of pens because I have colored pencils. I have markers. I have permanent markers. I have pens. I have regular pencils. I have the notebooks that I'm operating from. You know, I have like cards or things that I've gotten. Like I just have this thing of crap. Right there. It's the first thing you see when you come into the kitchen and like the house. And like, I always try to minimize it. But it's like, these are things that I need all the time. So I don't know where to put it.
But do you need them in the kitchen?
No, but I don't know where I need them. Because the kitchen's the most common space.
But that's the problem. Because the kitchen becomes a space for everything else. Which can then make, and I'm not saying this is true for your kitchen, but for many people's kitchen, all those other things that intrude make the kitchen less usable for creating healthy meals.
It's true.
And the more cluttered it is with other things, the less you want to be spending time there making healthy meals. The more temptation to just grab something from the outside.
Yeah, it's true. So how do we begin to make changes? What do I do with my pile of crap? Not crap, useful things that I need every day.
Think about your kitchen in terms of functional zones. You have your cooking zone, mm-hmm. which would include your cooktop or your range, your ovens, your pots and pans, and where they need to be stored. Make that, you know, your cooking zone. Then you have your food storage zone, which would be pantry cabinets and refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your prep cleanup zone, which would be the sink and the supplies that you keep in your cabinet to clean up and also to prepare meals. So all of that's your prep cleanup area. So you organize your kitchen by zone so that it is as functional as it can be and it's easy to work in. And things that don't belong in those zones, like maybe the fondue maker you use twice a year, they come out of there.
Yeah.
Everyone has spaces in their kitchen that are less used. For example, if you have an over-the-range microwave, as so many small kitchens do, the space above it is not terribly usable. So it could be a space for things you don't use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you move it to another room, like maybe that jar of pens that you have can be in your home office area.
Yeah.
Or in a family room area. How many household members do you have, Talia?
I have a canine and a husband.
Okay. So you can have what I like to call a family landing zone. Where all of that clutter can land. And that would be potentially the pet supplies, like the dog's leash and collar and other things for the dog, as well as your husband's gear.
His leash.
And yours. And you decide the best point for that landing zone to be.
Mm-hmm.
In my house in Florida, when there were three of us, no canine, it was in the family room. And people would come in and they dump their stuff down. And I didn't want it on the end of the island where it always landed. So I created a family landing zone in the family room that had everyone had their own basket for mail and chargers. And everyone had their own cubby for their briefcases or backpacks or purses. And everyone had a drawer for things that they needed to keep that we didn't necessarily want sitting out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can create a family landing zone for yourself, your pup, and your guy
mm-hmm.
that your pens can go into your section of it.
Yeah. That's
but
cool.
It shouldn't be in the kitchen.
Okay. Good to know.
To be near the kitchen.
Ponder that.
But not in the kitchen.
Not in the kitchen. Okay.
Not
so
in the kitchen.
when we talk wellness design and your book, mm-hmm. Wellness by Design, you're not doing things like feng shui or anything like that. We're talking about like more functional, practical stuff like we're talking, or do you also incorporate things like feng shui into your practice?
I don't specifically incorporate feng shui, but feng shui has a lot of overlap with wellness design because it too seeks to declutter and arrange in ways that are functional and healthy for living. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm not a specialist and I don't pretend to be, there are overlaps. And I think the whole comfort and joy element, where I talk about details and incorporating art that speaks to your soul rather than your sofa, and just adding elements that make you feel good, both from the standpoint of plants for indoor air quality, as an example, and creating a quiet space for yourself so you can decompress, and connecting your indoors and your outdoors.
Ooh.
So those are all overlaps in that realm of not functional so much as the emotional, spiritual well-being. And just the importance of sleep, for example, mm-hmm. that helps you function more.
Yep.
But it's also health and fitness oriented. You can't do great workouts and you can't do great work if you haven't gotten enough rest.
Totally.
So there's a chapter on master bedrooms. If I were writing it today, I'd probably call them primary bedrooms and guest bedrooms and kids' bedrooms. And they all talk about creating those as the healthiest space for serving those people.
What are some big no-nos in a primary bedroom?
Let's see. Big no-nos. Blue light is not ideal for sleep. Mm-hmm. And blue light can be from electronics. Yeah. It could be from the lighting in the room and the bathroom that you're using that's attached to it. Another big no-no for me is I don't like the open bathroom concept. Hmm. Unless both of you are on the same schedule or one person is such a heavy sleeper that open bathroom is not going to disturb them.
Wait, what is you mean leaving the door open, or there's a concept?
Well, there are a lot of primary bedroom bathroom suites. I have one in my townhouse where there's no door between the bathroom and the bedroom.
So you're just like brushing your teeth in the bedroom? It's like an open kitchen type of vibe?
It's like an open kitchen, but an open bathroom to the bedroom.
Oh, I haven't seen that other than like in a cool, maybe like a hotel or something.
It is a style. Mm. It's not one of my favorites.
Maybe I've seen it in hotels.
I consider that a big no-no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be in some hotels. And even if you're just looking at open vanity area, if somebody's putting that light on, they want to listen to music, they want to catch a news broadcast before they get into their day, well, that's disrupting the other person.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm not a big fan of those in bedrooms. For me, that's kind of a no-no.
Those are no-nos. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So
toxic elements are no-nos.
No-nos. I like saying no-nos.
I like that too.
So you say our spaces should work as hard as we do. What do you mean by that?
Well, let's take the kitchen, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is really one of the hardest working rooms in the house. Do you have a lot of storage needs and no place to put them? Do you have cabinets where you don't know what's in the back because you haven't been able to see back there for however many months or years? So a way to make that more hardworking, more functional, is to add storage accessories that create more accessible, usable, functional space.
Right.
Look at your countertops. Do you have a bunch of stuff on your countertops that's not functional?
Right.
You might only use it once a season. I mentioned a fondue pot, but people have other
spiralizers or bread makers, ice cream makers.
Yeah, ice cream maker is a great example. How often do you make an ice cream? Does it really need to be out on your counter?
Daily activity.
Maybe it goes in that space above your oven that you just pull it down when you need it.
Huh.
Put the fondue pot up there too.
I just love the focus on functionality. And I think if anyone listening wants to just walk through their house or their apartment or their space and just really ponder the functionality of all the things. I mean, would you say to start with furniture, or would you say to start with, yeah, what would you start? Furniture, layout, or like items / like tidiness?
I would start with need.
Oh, need. Okay. So need. You walk into your
which room is failing you the most right now?
But sometimes it's hard to know when you've like lived that way forever, you know?
But right now, everyone is living in ways they haven't lived before.
That's true.
I mean, not everyone, but many people.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly a space that was just a living room is now also a distance learning space for their kids,
right,
or it's a home office, or it's a gym. So our spaces are working harder for us than they have in the past. So I think the needs have evolved with that.
That's a really good point.
People's needs change over time too. Mm-hmm. The tub that you just got hopefully will serve you for many years into the future when you're losing fractions of inches.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were definitely thinking about it.
It's not a broken hip waiting to happen.
Yeah, totally. We definitely thought about that because we put up, like, instead of a shower curtain, one of those half glass door things. And my mom actually was like, well, if you're going to ever bathe a kid in here, you want to be able to move the door, be able to open it rather than just have it locked in place like we had been advised to do. So we actually put it on a hinge because if we were bathing a child in however many years, we'd want to be able to use the whole. So we were thinking about that.
I have that in the kids' bath chapter.
Yeah.
About,
oh, there you go.
You know, bypass doors could be difficult for, you know, for parents bathing young children.
So would you say that right now, because everybody's lives are changing so much and their needs of their home are changing so much, do you think that we should be pandemicking our homes? Like, not saying, well, when I get back to the office, then this won't need to be my office anymore. Or, well, when my gym reopens, then, like, or do you advise people, like, let's just arrange our homes to suit our needs now because we really don't know what and when the future will change?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because there will come a time, I believe, that we will go back to gyms and offices and that our homes won't be doing as much multitasking. I think people should be looking at the big areas like safety and indoor air quality and overall functionality. One thing that we will be doing is we will still be cooking in our kitchens and storing food in our kitchens. So how could we make them as functional and as low maintenance as we can? If you're going to be redoing your kitchen, for example, because a lot of people are looking at, I want to redo this. I'm spending so much more time here. Mm-hmm. Look at it not only from the standpoint of what fits the home style, what fits its value, but what will make your life easier. You might have fallen in love with the gorgeous black glossy cabinets that you saw on Pinterest. But with a kid and pets, how easy is it going to be for you to keep those cabinets looking glossy and pristine? And do you really want to invest that?
Yeah. Okay. So start with the kitchen, because that's not ever going to change in importance.
Your kitchen will always be important. It's always going to have high value.
Yeah.
It's always going to need to be functional, and you always want it to be safe and healthful.
So speaking of kitchen, where one cooks plants, talk to me about biophilia and, you know, plants that help us not just by eating them.
And I love eating plants. I really do.
Good. That's You're why, in the right place
that's
for
why
that.
I was so drawn to your, you know, your book and your podcast.
Thanks.
So plants, in some respects, can help with indoor air quality.
Mm-hmm.
Not all plants, but some plants. And you can find that information online. Plants also create a welcoming feel to your space. Plants can be for seasoning, as you well know, you know, herbs and just nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So they present a lot of opportunities. But think about where you're placing them so that they're enhancing your home and not creating either a trip hazard or getting in the way of functionality. So, you know, think strategically. I'm not a green thumb. I'm the first person to confess that.
I'm not either. My husband does all of our plants.
My mom was a master gardener. I didn't inherit that either.
Oh, man.
But I have managed to keep a couple of plants alive in my townhouse.
Well, snake plants are gold.
I have one of those. I love it.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning, and that is one of the plants that enhances indoor air quality.
Yeah, snake plants are dynamite.
I have one in my bedroom.
That's great. Do you feel that fake plants are A-okay if they still kind of spark the joy and give you that peace of mind?
They can. Yeah. And yes. They're not going to give you the indoor air quality benefits, and you do need to keep them dusted.
Oh.
But they can give you what I call a mini biophilia boost.
Ooh, that sounds naughty.
So you see it and it makes you smile and it makes you glad to be there. That's a benefit.
Totally.
I love fresh flowers.
Oh, they last for like 5 minutes.
Well, mums, I like mums, and mums seem to hold up longer.
Yeah, we have mums right now. They're great.
Mm-hmm. And over time, you figure out which flowers last the longest, and you keep those around, and they give you a mini biophilia boost, too. But studies out of some of the top universities show that people who have a view to nature, or even representations of a view, have health benefits from those. From lower stress, lowering your blood pressure, to faster recovery, to the need for fewer pain meds. So those are all wellness benefits associated with either plants and nature or features that represent them.
Mm.
We're coming into a time when everyone's going to be, almost everyone, having the space dark at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, when we change the clocks this weekend. So having a light and bright place that reminds you of your last vacation to a destination spa with light and bright and sunny yellow accessories and
candles
and green for nature, mm-hmm. that can help.
Totally. What about, I read one of the reviews for your book that talked about how changes in your space can enhance productivity. So we're talking about joy, but what about productivity? What are some things that can enhance that? Because I feel like that's a huge work from home struggle.
Organization is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be working in a space for an extended period of time. Having your home technology optimized, because maybe it was just you playing on the internet in the evenings when you came home from work, and now your router and modem and all of those things need to be optimized for handling larger data and for security, so that you're not hacked and your boss's papers aren't hacked or your client's materials. So, you know, look at your home technology. Have you updated your passwords? Are they secure? Is it working the way you need it to? Do you need any extenders? I have a 3-story townhouse, and before I put in Wi-Fi extenders, I got really crummy signals on the second or third floor.
Mm-hmm. And that's a stressor.
That's a stressor, especially when I do most of my computer work in my office downstairs on the first floor where the computer is set up, but I'm often responding to emails and social media in other parts of my townhouse. And I was just, it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So working with my tech consultant on making sure everything was secure and that I could use it other parts of my townhouse was important for my functionality.
Okay. So it's not always about, and that's what we have to keep hitting home here. It's not always about like wall colors. It's also about really just functionality. I can't keep saying that enough. It's just, it's so important to think about that. I think we don't think about that when we enter spaces and go about our life. So that's just a really awesome nugget of takeaway from this conversation.
And, you know, there is a link between wall color and productivity too. If you're trying to sleep, for example, you don't necessarily want your bedroom to be red or orange, colors that energize.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's more soothing, like blues and greens, can create more of a space of rest. So there is a link there between color and of course, when it comes to light, color is important.
Yeah.
Now, not just in how you look in the bathroom mirror.
Right, light.
But whether it's impacting, whether it's interrupting your circadian rhythms to help you sleep better.
That's interesting. When we moved into our home, we futzed with the light bulbs so many times. And it was so funny. I kept going to Target and like buying what I thought was the right light bulb. And then we'd come home and it would be like way too fluorescent. Like I bought like a one that said it was good for laundry rooms and gyms. And then I put it in the office because I was like, oh, that'll be good. And it was like, oh my God, it was awful. And then, you know, we kept futzing with lighting so much. Who would have thunk? I had no idea.
And people don't necessarily think, I want to get healthy, so I'm going to redo my kitchen or bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But those spaces are so key to your well-being.
Yeah, that's true.
In so many ways that we don't think about.
Absolutely.
And my book was about getting people to think about how their home could be a secret weapon, be their ally.
Your book, Wellness by Design. So it's a room-by-room guide to optimizing your home for health, fitness, and happiness. So what can people expect from it?
People can expect things from the luxury end for somebody who's building their forever home. Things like steam showers, for example, to tips for people who are in their first apartment. Like, you know, the handheld shower head or changing out recessed fixtures to pendants for task lighting, things that they could do with the landlord's permission and then undo when they move. Things like, you know, radon detectors for health and volatile air detectors and things that are just focused on decluttering and increasing storage in a cramped kitchen or bathroom, and from the pretty to the practical.
Pretty to the practical. That's so great. What's your favorite chapter, favorite room in the house, in the book?
Oh, gosh. I would say my favorite room in my house is my living room.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's where I will close off my office at the end of the day. And I spend so many hours in here. And then I like to go up and my living room is filled with comfort and joy elements. From the mirror that my dad made to the vintage style Mount Whitney, framed Mount Whitney poster on the wall to remind me to get off the couch and train for my Kilimanjaro trek. So I've got the motivation, I've got the relaxation, I've got a fireplace so I can just sit there with a cup of tea and my feet up and watch my favorite show and have the fireplace on. Right now, it's also doubling as my home gym.
Nice. So it's tripling, it sounds like.
It's gone from just a space of relaxation to also a space of fitness. And I'm not unique in that regard.
Yeah, no. Tell me again the areas to consider, the health and fitness, comfort and joy. What were they again? Just say them one more time.
The five facets of wellness design.
Mm-hmm.
Health and fitness. So that would be things like desk risers, so you're not sitting all day at your desk or an ergonomic desk chair. The anti-fatigue mat, safety and security, things like securing your home technology, for example, so you're less likely to be hacked would be an example. Ensuring that you don't have indoor air quality issues. Your vent fan in your kitchen and your bath are keeping pollutants out of your home. So things like that would be safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
Accessibility. So that you can safely get in and out of your tub and reach the back of your cabinets, and your home is easy to use for, let's say you had a helper, or let's say you had a sports injury, and suddenly you didn't have full use of your arms or legs for whatever period of time. You could still cook in your kitchen. You could still use your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Functionality, making it as organized and low maintenance as you can. And comfort and joy, everyone's favorite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we love comfort and joy.
Yeah, we do. Well, speaking of comfort and joy, what plant gives you the most joy to eat?
Oh my, that's a great question. I love a big spinach salad.
Yum.
I really do. I'm big on salads and I make them with different greens and different dressings. And I always have baby Bella mushrooms and I always have grape tomatoes. And I always have berries of some kind in there. The leaves will vary. And I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan, so a steak salad is one of my favorite foods.
In addition, or is that separate?
Well, it's the time when I want to have that added protein.
Got it.
Often I'll just have the salad by itself and I won't even have, you know, a protein with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do want to splurge, I love a steak salad. I love bean soups.
Now we're just going on random foods.
Well, I mean, those are plants.
Yeah,
beans
no, it's
are
funny.
Plants.
No, it's true. It's funny. It's funny. What is your favorite thing to do for self-care? The massage?
I love the massage, sitting in a jetted tub or using my handheld massaging shower head. I love facials.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go for facials all the time, but I actually have a facial product that I love using in my steamy shower. And it just feels like a little bit of self-care.
Yeah, for sure.
Sitting with my feet up on my ottoman and a cup of herbal tea in the fireplace on, that feels like self-care to me too.
Yeah. Is there a book that's inspired you in some awesome way?
The Power of Now is one of them,
mm-hmm.
about living in the moment. And a book called Happiness is a Serious Problem is one I read years ago, and it pointed out the importance of gratitude and purpose and taking care of your responsibilities.
That sounds great.
So those two would be. And then I'm a fan of the Psalms too.
Mm. Okay, well, books, books, books. Where should everyone go to find your book, Wellness by Design?
You know, the easiest place would be to go to jamiegold.net, my website, and they'll see links for independent booksellers on my publisher's page and Amazon. It is a prime selection. And they can also go to their favorite book, gold.net, not .com.
Not .net.
There's a poker player who has .com.
Ah, that's funny.
I have .net.
.net. All right. Well, jamiegold.net, thank you so much for coming on and reminding us about the functionality of our homes. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I love how Jamie said that our spaces should be working as hard as we do. It's so true. And they really are working harder for us now than they ever have in the past. With so many of us spending all of our time at home, we do need to make sure everything is as kumbaya in our casa as possible. And I really hope this chat got your juices flowing. For a recap, hit up the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/203. And there you'll also find a link to a staple book I believe should be in every household. My book, Party in Your Plants. It's available wherever books are sold and also at the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/203. Chat soon.